Today's daf in Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Yud. We're in the middle of trying to understand the distribution of the Orei Miklat, because it didn't make much sense that we would have three Orei Miklat servicing just the small area of the 2.5 Shvatim in Ever HaYarden, and the same number of Orei Miklat servicing all of the other Shvatim on the other side of the Yarden. So the Gemara said yesterday that the area of Gilad was known to be full of murderers, and therefore there was little respect for life, is the way that the Maharal understands it, and that would increase the number of accidental murders as well, and because of that, we needed a greater proportion of Orei Miklat per individual in the population. But the other question is, we had a distribution, which according to Gemara, had the same distance from the southern border to the first Ir Miklat on the south, or from the northern border to the first Ir Miklat on the north, was the same distance as between each of the Orei Miklat, which didn't make any sense, because that would mean that someone who was far to the south or north might be in a position where it would take him twice as long to get to an Ir Miklat, and therefore we have the same problem. We don't have a distribution that's equal. So why exactly would that be? So that brings us to the third line. That's where we got up to yesterday. Maishna mihagisa mihagisa demirchake, umaishna mitziai demikarve. So why is it that from the borders, either the north or the south, you can get very far from an Ir Miklat, but if you're in the middle, you're closer? Omer Abaye, well, b'shchem nami shchiche rotzchem. There were more murderers in the middle, and because of that, not to the same extent, obviously, as it was in Gilad, because otherwise we'd have the same problem again, of course, but more, than there was a greater distribution of murders would take place in the middle area than in the north and in the south. How do we see that? We see that the Torah considers the area of Shechem particularly, which of course is still true today. It says over there, ukechake ish gidudim, like waiting in a gang of people that are chever kohanim derech yiratzachu shechma, like a group of kohanim who are going to murder people on the road. We're learning shechma, which really means together, like shechem echad. We're reading it as Shem. I understand. What do you mean, like a bunch of Kohanim? Kohanim are murderers? I mean, why are we calling these people? You're claiming that the Hever Kohanim is the equivalent of an Ish Gedudim, that are Derech Yiratzachu? Omer Rabbi Elazar, no. It's comparing them to Kohanim. It's saying, look, in the same way that you have Kohanim, that what they do is they get together. There's a lot of people that are giving out trumas and maizras. And so the Kohanim, they get together and they have a distribution place where people could come and can give, and then they'll split it between the individual Kohanim that are there. So the same way that Shayu mitchabrim laharug nefashot, ki Kohanim alalu shemitchabrim lachalok trumot bebet agranot. So they would gather together to all be shove in the same Eitzah. So the same Eitzah over there was derech yiratzachu. Obviously, we're not comparing them to Kohanim in terms of the Ritzicha. Vetuleka asks the Gemara, you're saying there were only six Orei Miklat, but we know there were a lot more because it says Beferish. And all of these cities, by the way, were all given to the Levim, of course, including the Shesh Orei Miklat. They're listed in the Orei Levim. And then it says, V'aleihem titnu arbeim shtayim yiro, above and beyond the Shesh Orei Miklat, continue to give from the various Shvatim another 42 cities, which are given to the Levim, and Aleihem Titnu, they were also listed as the ones that were Orei Miklat. They were all connected to the Levim. By the way, the Hasidim have a Mesera, you know, that this is Keneged, the six Orei Miklat are Keneged, the six words in the Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the 42 Levim are connected to 42 words in the first parasha, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. And that they also are mesugal for various levels of klita of the nefesh. Anyway, so why do we list in the Mishnah only six? Amar Abaye, because they function differently. The six are ori miklat in their essence. They don't require your mind to be aware of the klita and to desire the klita and to desire to sort of mix into the city to provide the klita. The very fact that you're physically there is the nature of the city, which is Bein Ladat, Bein Shelo Ladat. But the 42 other cities of the Levium, they work as Ore Miklat if your intent in being there is specifically to be part of them and to be in an Ir Miklat. And therefore, Ladat, only Ladat are they Kelet. Shelo Ladat, Einan Kotot. Now, you listed Chevron in the cities of the Ore Miklat. How's that possible? All of the Ore Miklat, it says Beferush, were given to the Levian, and Kolev was given to Yehuda, because it was actually given to Kolev, right? Yitnu le Kolev et Chevron kasher diber Moshe. I thought it was supposed to be given to the Levian. Amar Abaye, Kolev wasn't given Chevron himself. Kolev was given the Parvadah, was given the suburbs and the agricultural area around Chevron. If you're medayek in the pasuk, you'll see that that's what it says. Dechtiv et sedei ha'ir ve'et chatzireha natnu l'chalev ben Yefuneh. And it was actually only the area around the city and the suburbs. Okay, well, what about Kedesh? How could Kedesh be an ir miklat? Kedesh is listed as one of the greater fortified cities. It was an ir miftzar. Take a look at the list of these Ari Miftzar that we find in Yoshua, and it goes like this. The Ari Miftzar were Atzidim, and Ser, Chamat, Rakat, Kineret, Vikedesh, Fedre, Vein Chatzor. Now, you're not allowed to make a major city into a Ir Miklat, because it says Beferish in the Brit of Etanya. Arima lolo enosimotam lotirin ktanim, velo kirachim gidolim. These, all of these cities that are meant to be Ari Miklat, they cannot be these little towns, and they cannot be these large cities. They have to be Ayarot Beinoniot. They have to be smaller, medium-sized cities. Because the point is, we don't want a lot of people gathering there for different purposes, because that will attract a Goel Adam. On the other hand, we do need enough people to provide protection and to provide enough of a parnosa for a rotsiach who's there. Remember, we were going to learn all of this from Vachai. You have to give him his chiyuta. And if there's not going to be enough people there to make money and enough people to protect him, then it's not a proper ir miklat. Omer of Yosef, there were two cities that were called Kedesh, and they were like today, Omer of Ashi. So you've got the Silicon Valley, and then you've got around that, you've got like the area of Apple has their own little town, sort of. And that's exactly the same way you had over there, Kedesh. That was the big town, was Kedesh. And then you had these little centers around them. Yeah, they were also called Kedesh. Gufa. Ori malolo, let's go back to that Brita. You say you're not allowed to make them tiny villages. Velo krochim gdolim, they can't be large cities. They're like medium-sized settlements. Ein moshivim otam, furthermore, they can only be in places where there's sufficient water supply. Imein shamayim, mevim lemayim. If there's not water supply in the towns that the Torah recommended, then you have to bring water in by digging pipes and so on. Ein moshivim otam, ela b'mokam shvakim. You can only make them if there's a Walmart available. If there's no Walmart available, how are people supposed to live in that town? So you've got to be able to buy all of your needs. There have to be people that are available to be called into action in the case that there is an attack by a gang of wild Goel Hadams who figure, let's get them all at one shot. If somehow the demographics have changed and now there's not enough people in the area, so then you bring people, encourage the settlements around. Nitmatu Direm, if the actual population of the city has become too small. Meviim lem kohanim, leviim, the Israelim. You bring them people that are miuchasim, that are the decent human beings, not the asafsuf, but rather real kohanim, leviim, and Israelim, the kind that you'll find in the type of place where you want to daven. There's no ammunition stores in town. There's no place where you can buy weaponry. And you can't even buy sport hunting stuff, because you know what people might do with that. Don't ad kedei kach aser the sale. But everybody agrees, both Rabbi Nechemi and the Chachamim, that ain't porsim betochan mitzudot, they ain't mafshilim betochan chavalin. There's certain types of things that require a large number of people to be dealing with over a broad area. So, for instance, if you're making nets, that requires them to be spread out. It needs a lot of people pulling on them. And so that's too dangerous. That can attract a goel adam. Kedei shelo tei goel adam mitzuyashem. So we don't want any type of really significant industry there, which would attract people looking for jobs and would call in a goel adam. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, where do we see all of this? Well, it says, v'nasa l'achat min ha'arim ha'el v'choy. What do you mean v'choy? I mean, obviously that's the whole point, isn't it? No, it means you do what is necessary to provide him. Avi le'mini d'tavi le'chiyuta. You make sure that he's got all of the things that he needs in order to properly live, which includes making a living, includes having friends, and so on. So he's got to have a society. Tana, it's more than that. Let's say a Talmud of a person is sent to an Ir Miklat, then the Rav of that Talmud has to go with him. Because since Yisrael is responsible for providing him life, it says, v'chai, avid le'midid et ha'evi le'chiyuta. And as the Rambam puts it, for people who live on learning, that's not life. That's considered to be death. Shaharei's beautiful lashon is, chayei ba'alei ha'chokhmo mefakshah b'lo talmud Torah is kemita chashuvim. So are you going to send him away from to die? Therefore, you're going to have to send his Rebbe with him. Omer Rebbe Zira, this is a very important lesson to a Rav. Don't accept Talmidim that are no good, because they can end up dragging you to an Ir Miklat if they're the type of people that are going to end up possibly killing Bishogeg. So you see from here that whole idea of killing Bishogeg is what we've been saying all along with the Maharal, that the attitude Bichlal towards life is what makes a person end up being a Rotzeach B'shogeg. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the opposite is also true. If a Rav goes into Golus, then all of his Talmidim have to go with him. How's he supposed to survive without being able to do the Daf Yomi together? So that's why they developed Zoom, actually, just in case. Amy, is this really true, though? I mean, I thought that it wouldn't be possible for a Talmud Chacham to need to go into Golus, because after all, Divrei Torah are Koltin. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin LeDivrei Torah Shein Koltin, Shinemer Et Betzer Bamidbar, like it lists all of the cities that we spoke about, Beretz HaMishol, Ruveni, Ramot Begilad, and so on and so forth. And then after listing the Arei Miklat, then comes the Pasuk, Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. So that means that the Torah Asher Sam Moshe is the equivalent of these Arei Miklat. So if that's the case, even if the Rav would have killed someone, he only has to stay in the Beis HaMedrash, and that would be his Ir Miklat. Okasha, Abid, and the Asik Beit. Yes, it would be, as long as you're actually learning. But what happens if you're not learning at that moment? So that because of that, he has to go to an Ir Miklat to be protected at all times. Or maybe when it says koltin, it doesn't mean koltin like an Ir Miklat. It's similar in certain ways to an Ir Miklat in that it's koltin from the Malach HaMoves. So yes, it provides protection from death. That's a natural death, but not from somebody who's coming after him and trying to kill him. Ki Hadar Rav Chisda. We know the famous story of Rav Chisda that was very much like the story of David HaMelech, where David HaMelech, remember, we had the story in the Sefer Shabbos, and David HaMelech would sit and learn all Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he was going to die on Shabbos. So Rav Chisda, he would sit and learn all the time. So the Malach HaMavis had this special guy that he had trying to get Rav Chisda's soul. And he didn't have a chance because Rav Chisda was constantly learning. So the Shliach couldn't get near Rav Chisda. So what did he do? He went outside, sat down on a tree that was right outside of the Beis HaMedrash, which caused it to crack, Paka Arza, which Rav Chisda was shocked for a moment. What the heck is that? And he stopped learning for that second. And at that moment, he got him. He yuckled it. Anyway, getting back to the Ari Miklat. Om Rebbe Tanchum Bar Chani Loi. Why is it that the first city that's listed in the Ari Miklat is the, it says, and it's interesting because it sort of goes backwards. It says, Vayikachu et Kedesh, Begalil, Bar Naphtali, et Shechem, Bar Ephraim, et Kiryat Arba, Yechevron, Bar Yehuda. And then it says, Mi'everli Yardin Yericho Mizracha, that nu et Betzer Bamidbar, Bimishor, Mimateru Uvein. And then it keeps going up, Vet Ramot Begilad, Vet Golan. So it sort of describes a U. In other words, it starts up in Har Naphtali, comes all the way down to Hebron, turns to the Eiver HaYarden, and then goes up from Betzer, which is Reuven. But, I mean, you'd think that if we're so makbid the whole time that the Orim are supposed to be juxtaposed, so then the description of the Orim would be juxtaposed. So, in other words, if we started north to south by going from Kedesh in the Galil, then we should also start from north to south and start with Golan, because that was the one that was connected to Kedesh. If for some reason it was important to do it the other way and to start from Reuven. So why would we want to do that? Because Reuven was the one of the Shvatim that was Potach Bahatzalah Techila. The Torah says, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileu Miyadam. That act of Hatzalah was the Mokar of the Keach of Reuven to be collate as well. Because of that, since it's the first place in the Torah that we find that Vayatzileu, then that is the place that we should have the first Ir Miklat, basing the implications of every last element in the past and in a person's mind. Dorash Rabbi Smiloi, May Dechtiv Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim Be'Ever HaYardin Mizracha. What is this? I mean, Ever HaYardin Mizracha, and it stretches specifically the element of Mizracha Shemesh? I mean, it's the Shemesh is the point? It's Be'Ever HaYardin. We know what that is. What do you mean Mizracha Shemesh? Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, the point is, Moshe, Hazrach Shemesh L'Rotzli. You've got to let the sun shine in to these Rotzchim, because if you're going to just, you know, go through, okay, here's a place. No, you've got to make sure that they have everything that they need and that they'll have the Torah that they need, all the things that we spoke about in the Brayta a moment before. So some say that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, in doing this and showing your concern for these Rotzchim, Hizracht HaShemesh L'Rotzchim, you've given them hope. Remember, the Zedvar HaRotzeach means that a Rotzeach has to announce Rotzeach Ani, as we're going to see in the Mishnah later, and that he has to see himself as a murderer, despite the fact that the whole thing was only a shoge. Because as we've seen, it's the attitude overall and the level of akpada in life that is the basis of the things that happen to it. Dorash Rabbi Simoi, when it says in the Pasuk, Oev kesev, lo yispar kesev, in Kohelet, it says, people who love money are never going to be satisfied with money. Umi ohev behamon, lo tevua. And whoever loves a lot of it is not going to have anything. What does that really reference to? Oh, if kesev or yizba kesev, remember kesev has a double meaning. Kesev means desire. Nichsof nichsafti. So it's something that is the equivalent of desire. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu could never get enough. And even though he was Oev Kesef, and he knew that he's going to love this opportunity for a mitzvah, which is what he desired so much, and he knew Lo Yisba Kesef, he knows that this Kesef is not going to help him. It's not going to make him happier, in a sense, because it's not going to work. Like we saw, the three Orim in Evra Yarden were not actually effective Ori Miklat until all those years later, 14 years later, when all of the six, Sheish Ori Miklat, have to be functional together. So why did he do it? Well, why do people keep looking for money, huh? They know that it's never going to satisfy them. The more they have, the more they're going to need. But once you're onto it, baby, you just can't stop. You know what I mean? So this is Moshe Rabbeinu. I got a mitzvah. I can't stop. So he knew it wasn't going to be nisba kesev because atchol nifcharu shalosh beretz haKenan. The other ones won't work. But he said, "So what? That means I don't do the mitzvah. Mitzvah shabol yadi akaymena. Even though it'll be credited to the one who finishes it, as we'll see. But afal pikein, this is what I want. Umi ohev behamon lo tvua." What is the meaning of the closing of it? Lamina el lamed behamon. Who is it appropriate for to be teaching many people? Only lo tvua. We're darshaning lo tvua with a vav. Mi shekola tvua shelo. If it's his. The truth is that it isn't really that we're darshaning it with a vav, although that's the kitzer of the drasha. The shlemus of the drasha is that we're looking at it as a lashon of the pasuk which ends gamze hevel, you see. So, lo tvua, if you don't have tvua, what a bunch of garbage. So you shouldn't be up there teaching just because you got your little rabbinate certificate, you know. You should have everything, kola tera kula, mikra, mishnah, gemara, medrash. That's when you should be teaching. V'hainu diomer Rebbe Elazar, for whom is it fitting to say over all of the chidushim, only if you can talk about kol ha'Torah kula? V'rabbanan, or some have it as Rabba Bar Mariyomar, a different drasha. Mi ohev bahamon lo tevuah. Someone who loves those who have hamon, so meaning somebody who loves those types of people, and he gets close to Tramidei Chachomim, and those are the ones that he loves, the ones that have all of those chidushim. So he, in the end, is given tvu'ah. So kol ohev ba, to be ohev hamon, lo tvu'ah. Yavu be'rabbanan einayu, be'rova be'rei deraba. So he will be given, Rashi learns this means, if you love Talmidei Chachamim, you will be given children who are also Talmidei Chachamim. In other words, the Torah will stick with your family. And this was seen in the family of Rava, Berei de Rabba. Ravashi says, I have a different drush. Kol ohev, lilmod behamon, lo tvuah. Whoever loves to learn with a lot of other people who can help him understand, he's the one that's going to have the production. What does it mean when it says in Yirmiyahu, Cherev al Habadim, which Bepashtus is talking about these Oivdei Avodah Zarah and Mechashvim, so that's referring to the kind of sticks that they use. But here we're learning, Badim means people who are all alone. So cherev al abadim v'no'alu means cherev al tzavarei sonehem shel talmidei chachamim. There should be like a sword on the necks of talmidei chachamim. We say, of course, we say it as a euphemism, those who hate talmidei chachamim, but we're referring to the talmidei chachamim, the ones who don't ever talk things over with a chavrusa. They think they could just sit in a room and they can learn themselves and they're going to be able to understand things. They're convinced that they are able to penetrate as deeply as possible, all by themselves. They're eskim b'tera bad b'vad. And you should know It's not only a sword on their necks. You know what's going to happen to them? Something much worse than having a sword on your neck. You're going to become stupid, which for them is worse than the sword on their necks. I said, oh, not only that, you know. So the sword of Damocles will be hanging over you, but you're even going to become stupid because it says, Vinoalu, Uchtivasam, Asher Noalnu, the Asher Chatanu. So you see, Noalnu is we did stupid things. Vlood Elashochotin. It's even going to be worse because it's Noalnu Vachatanu, is what Aaron says to Moshe. Asher Noalnu Vasher Chatanu. Or it's another pasuk that shows, Noalu Saret So'an, they've become complete idiots. Ravina says, I got another approach. Kol ha'ohev l'lamed v'hamon lo tevua. So those who love to teach Klal Yisrael as many Talmidim as possible, they end up getting the most Torah. And that's as Rebbe himself said. And Rebbe, of course, was the ultimate lo l'lamed v'hamon. He was the one that everybody came to for the learning. And Rebbe said, Harbe Torah lamadati mirabotai. So as much as I learned from my teachers, I learned more than that from my friends. The most I learned from my Talmidim. We understand this to mean that we were able to stand to the pressure in war of all types. But who was Gerim to Omdot Yerushalayim? In the Sharei Yerushalayim, where are you asking about Torah? The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ma'i dechtiv, Shir ha-ma'alot le-David, so machti ba'omrim li-bet Hashem nelech. So I was happy, said David, when people would say to me, let's go up to the Beit Hashem. What is this referring to? Omer David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Ribono Shel Olam, you think I don't hear people saying, Shamati b'nei Adam, they pass by the window. When is this old idiot going to die so that Shlomo will come along and build a Beis HaMikdash? We got to have this useless person around here. Matayo mutza kein zeh, v'yavo Shlomo b'no, v'yivneh b'et ha-bechira, v'na'al el-regel. So they look at it from their point of view. And when I hear that, you think I'm resentful? I'm happy. V'samachti Baruch Hashem, that it means so much to them to have a Beis HaMikdash and they want to go up to Aliyas Regel. So maybe you should consider what they're saying. I'm happy with it. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, absolutely not. Ki tov yom b'chatzerecha me'olef. I'm happier with one day that you are around in this world. Tov l'yom echad sh'ata osig b'torah lefanai. From Elef, the Elef Olot, that Shlomo Bincha is going to be makriv on the Mizbeach, like his Musker and Tanakh, that he used to bring, even in Givon, he used to bring Elef Olot Yala Shlomo. What does that mean to me compared to having a guy like you around? Get out of here, man. Maybe you're happy. I wouldn't be happy with the world without you. Go, getting back to the Mishnah. Umechuvanot lahem drachim. Tanya. Rebbe Eliezer and Yaakov Omer. This chiyav is not just that there should be highways, but it means that these highways should be easily negotiable in case ways isn't working. So miklat haya katuv al parashat drachim, every place you went by a parashat drachim, how do you say that today, a parashat drachim, not a crossroad, there's a, what's the word on a superhighway? We have a Parashat Drachim.
Interchange.
An interchange, right, thanks. So at every interchange, there were clearly marked signs. Miklat this way. Kedeshi Akir HaRotzeach V'yifnei L'sham, to be able to get there immediately. Omar Rav Kahana, where is the pasuk for that? Tochim L'cha HaDerech. That means make a hachana l'derech. Have them prepared for rapid escape. That's the idea. Now this sugya of the Ore Miklat, and I don't know how many of you have gotten a chance, there's a beautiful essay in this book called Frameworks, but truly beautiful, called Roads to Nowhere. It's one of the nicest, I think, essays in that, and all of those books. And over there, you'll see that the Inyan of the Ore Miklat is one of the most central parshas in the Torah. And because of it, we find in the Gemara that the different Talmidei Chachamim, before they started on that sugya, it was like the same as when learning Megillas Esther. They used to be pasach lapischa lahai parshat miyach. They used to open it up with an overall sense of where is this going. Here too, the different Chachamim, they used to introduce this sugya with a special pasach lapischa. Let's think about what it is that we should be looking for here. So Rav Chama Bar Chanina, he always used to start the drashas on the Ari Michlat. Tov vi hashor Hashem al kein yorech hataim badorach. This actually exposes us to is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guide even the chataim to try to get away from the awful life that you have to go to a life of beauty and production. Im lechataim yorech kavuchomer letzadikim. So imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help people that don't necessarily want to be helped. Imagine the siyata d'shmaya that a person has if he's looking to be helped. Is this amazing that we have mamish the pasach l'pitcha? We don't realize what an amazing sugya this is. V'asher lo tzada v'elohim ina liyado. What kind of strange pasach is that? That if the person, I mean, this is the way that you talk about a horeg b'shkaga, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused it to happen. I mean, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu cause it to happen? Well, take a look at the incredibly moving interchange between David HaMelech and Shaul. It's one of the most moving and terrifying kinds of psukim in the Torah. So David HaMelech has just proven to Shaul that all he wants is, he loves Shaul, and he tries to help Shaul, and Shaul is chasing him, claiming that he wants to hurt him, and how can he do this? And he shows him, he just had Shaul in his hands, and he could have killed you. And he says, but, you know, says David to him, you know, kasher yomar mashala kadmoni, like the ancient, what's mashala kadmoni is the Torah, the most ancient of all of the structures that are metaphors for the nature of life overall. And it says there in that Torah, Mirusha'im yetzei resha. What I said to myself is, if anything should happen to Shaul, it shouldn't come from me. It's only Rishayim that cause bad things to happen. So even if you deserve to be killed for the way you're treating me, Yadi lo tiyebach, I would never touch you. I know what the meaning in the pasuk. At that moment, Shaul breaks down. He starts crying. And he says, is that your voice? And I'm so sorry, and I love you so much. And of course, I mean, it's like a story of horrifying insanity and paranoia. And at the end, he says, I know that you're going to be the Melech, and I beg you not to destroy my family after you become them. It's like a very, very moving thing that is triggered by David HaMelech's claiming that somewhere in the Torah, it says the words, Mirusha'im Yetzei Resha. Now, it never says those words anywhere in the Torah. So what in the world is David referring to? And immediately Shaul understands him. You understand? This is a conversation that is touching on the very souls of the people that are saying it. So therefore, he's referring to this pasuk. Elohim ina liyado. What is this pasuk talking about? Bishnei bnei adam shorgu et hanefesh. Echad harag b'shogeg, echad harag b'meizid. So imagine a situation. Two people killed. One of them had killed b'meizid, and one of them had killed b'shogeg. And there were no witnesses, so they were not sent. And the one who killed b'shogeg wasn't sent to the Ir Miklat, and the one who killed b'meizid wasn't dealt with by Beis Din. And so they're walking around as if nothing happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes care of things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazminam lepundak echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges the world in such a way that they both end up in the same hotel for a weekend. Zesha Ragba Mesin is sitting underneath the ladder, a ladder, and the one who killed Bishogeg was coming down that ladder to get to the dining room, and he falls on the murderer and kills him. So it turns out the one who was Horeg B'Mesin was killed by this guy. He was supposed to be killed. And the one who was Horeg B'Shogeg ends up going into Golis because there were plenty of witnesses around. And this time, they actually testified against him. Oh, my Rabbi Baravuna. So we see that means the murder of the, which was really not a murder in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it, but who is the kli to kill the person that had done evil in the first place? The one who had murdered B'shogeg. So you see, Mirushayim Yetzei Resha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses him as a shliach to carry out the din on this other person. Omer Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Omer Rav Huna. Some say it's Rav Huna who said it himself, but in the name of Rebbe Lazar. We can see clearly from Torah, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim, it's such a fundamental rule that B'derech Shadam Rotzeh Le'lech Ba Molichinot. The way that a person essentially wants to go is the way that he works out his life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads him in that direction. So the individual chooses how his life should work out. This is Rabbeinu Bachya, who learns that this is a chelek. Remember, we've had that amazing Rabbeinu Bachya, that this is a chelek of the chotzva'am, tzivyonam, which we thought it's only a species issue, that hey, each species chose its shape in my separations. But Rabbeinu Bachya says, no, it means ultimately every person chooses his entire life in advance. He just doesn't realize it. And it all plays out. And he's shocked at how it's playing out until he can see the whole perspective and realize this was me all along. So where do we see this? In the Torah we see it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bilam, listen, I don't want to curse these people. Lo te'lechim ayam, do not go with them. And then what happens? Bilam keeps, okay, we'll try another night. Maybe we need better people. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, go with them. Yeah, fine. And of course, in going with them, he ends up destroying himself completely. So look, I can only try to help you. It's a bad idea. No, but maybe we should. Okay, fine. You want it? Take it. Kum lechita min ha-Nevi'im. Because it says, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Yeshayahu says, I'm trying to teach you for ways that it's going to be good for you. That I'm leading you in the road that you're taking. If this is where you want. Look, you want to listen to me, objectively, I'll be melamedcha lahoil. But in the end, I can't force you to take the right road. I'm going to be madrich you as best as possible into the path you've chosen for yourself. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech him in that direction. Specifically, where do we see it? Bechtuvim, Tichtiv, says Beferish and Mishlei. Im leleitzim, hu yalitz. If somebody wants to become a leitz, so then he'll have him getting very smart-assed and being able to always have something clever to say and to be one of them. V'lanavim, somebody wants to go in the direction of Anivas, Yitenchein, he will give him to a place where he can have that another. Omer Avuna, Rotzeach Shegalali Ir Miklato, Mitzao Gola Adam V'harago. I suppose he was Gola, doesn't mean he got there. It means he was Paskin, that he's supposed to go to Golas. Actually, not everybody learns like that, because many understand Shegola means if he was a murderer that took that first step to go to the Ir Miklat, and he just didn't get there yet. But remember, we're talking about over here that he's supposed to, at least we'll see it's a machlokas, we'll see shortly, whether he's supposed to immediately go on his own as a chiev, and then Bezdin takes him from the Ir Miklat to deal with it. If on his way to the Ir Miklat, the Goel Adam finds him and kills him, he would be putter. Kosovar, the law in Mishpat Mavet, the Goel Adam Ukatuf. Now, this is very strange because it doesn't seem to be possible to read the Pasuk like this. Let's think about the Pasuk. What does it say over there? Pen Yerdov Goel Adam Achar Harod Seyach, Ki Echam Levavov, Hisigo, Ki Yerba Haterech, Hiko Nefesh. You have to do all of these things because what would happen if the Goel Adam ends up chasing after the murderer because he's completely overwhelmed emotionally, catches him, and he kills him. Because if there's going to be a long way to go till he gets to a place where he's in a Ir Miklat, then he's going to be killed. V'lo ein mishpat maves, kilo soneu lo mitmo shel shom. How do you read that pasuk? Isn't it saying it's a shame that he should be killed because he really doesn't deserve to die because he didn't hate this guy in any way, never even knew him. And the whole thing is an accident. And for the Goel Adam to take it out on him, isn't that what it's saying? That's certainly what it seems to be saying. Rav Huna has the weirdest way of reading the pasuk. He says, when it says v'lo ein mishpat mavet, it means the Goel Hadam is not going to be chayim. V'lo ein mishpat kaved, we're worried that the Goel Hadam will shoot this guy because he knows that he can get away with murder. Because lo ein mishpat mavet. But then the next words don't make any sense, because the next words are, ki lo sonehu lo mitmor shel shom. I mean, what does that have to do with Goel Hadam? That could only be a reference to the one who murdered Beshogeg, right? So Mara's going to, of course, ask how Rav Huna could read it that way. And in fact, the Braita says, Beferish, not to read it like Rav Huna reads it, but to read it the way it seems to make sense. Basically, V'lo ein mishpat mavet, that's a reference to the murderer, not to the Goel Adam. Berotzeach ha-katuv medaber. You say it's talking about the Rotzeach. Maybe it's referring to the Goel Adam, v'lo ein mishpat mavet, that if he kills the Rotzeach, he won't be chayev. Like Rav Huna said, no. Kishu Omer, read the rest of the passing. V'hu lo sonelo mitmol shel shom. He doesn't hate him. Who doesn't hate him? I'm talking about the Goel Adam. We're talking about the Rotzeach. Ave Omer, you have no choice but to say that we're talking about the Goel Adam. So the Braita says, Beferish, not like Rav Huna. So how is Rav Huna arguing with the Braita? Well, it happens to be that there's another Braita that agrees with Rav Huna. Who the Omer Kehaitan and the Tanya? V'lo in mishpat mavet b'goel adam ha-katuv midaber. Actually, just like Rav Huna claimed, so too it says here. You say it means the Goel Adam? Isn't it more likely that it means the Rotzeach? No, because when it says, ki lo sonelu lo mitmol shel shom, it's got to be referring to the Rotzeach, because we already introduced the case as saying that this person was there and had come in without even knowing this person. So what would be the need to say, Kilo Sonehu Mitmol Shoshon? Obviously, it means that, doesn't it? You're just repeating yourself. Therefore, we have to split the two cases. And lo in mishpat mavet is referring to the Goel Adam. And this idea of kilo sonei lo mitmol shel shom, look, that is referring to the Rotzeach. He shouldn't be killed. But so then if it says that lo sonei lo, then it's obviously referring to the whole point of the parsha, which that we're providing him these orim that he shouldn't be killed. So why do I have to say he shouldn't be killed? That must be referring to the Goel Adam. That's Rav Huna's logic, and he holds like that Tana. But what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah just said, Osrim lo shnei tamidei chachamim. We give him along two tamidei chachamim to stop a Goel Adam from killing him. Because Shema yargenu baderech, what if a Goel Adam tries to kill him on the way? And this way, yidabru elav. They'll talk to the Goel Adam. I mean, what do you mean they'll talk? What good is talking? I'm assuming that the Tamir HaChomim will tell the Goel Adam, look, if you kill this guy, you're going to be Chayiv Misa, and we're going to be Edim. So you better not kill him. I'm assuming that's what it means. Dematrube de'ikato baktalo. So you see clearly from the Mishnah that the Goel Adam would be Chayiv. No, it doesn't mean that they give him Atra'a. It means that we try to cool him down. Kidatanya. Things that talk to his heart. Omrimlo, listen, it's not appropriate to treat him as if he's a real murderer. This whole thing could happen to anybody. This thing happened. Yes, it was negligent. I mean, it's like what the cops do to these poor people that left the baby in the car and the baby dies in the car and they treat them like murderers when these people are brokenhearted and will never get over it, you understand? But they're murderers. I mean, you try to talk to people like that. Obviously, they didn't want to murder their child. So that's what it means. Talk to him appropriately. This whole thing wasn't his fault. Rabbi Meir Omer, let him talk for himself. To which the Chachomim say, Amrulo, It's always more effective to have somebody else do the arguing for you. And that speaks to the person. He can hear it from an objective individual better than he trying to defend himself. Anyway, but what you do see from here is that we're not talking about atra'ah. We're talking about a plea. I mean, that's a completely different issue. That's not a problem with what we were saying that Ravuna held. On my mind. But what you said a moment ago, that we say to him, Bishkagam ba ma'aseh liyado. I mean, obviously, why would he be going to Golos if he wasn't Bishkaga? So, I mean, it's sort of like pointing out something. I look at him like, hey, idiot. You know, obviously he's Bishkaga. That's why I'm angry. The guy doesn't have any concern for life. So, of course, if it was Mazed, so he wouldn't be going to Golos, would he? Wrong. He would. He would be going to Golos even if he had murdered intentionally, because it's the way we learned in the Braita, which was actually part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Yemer, B'tchila, Echot, Shogeg, V'Echot, Mezin, Magdimim, Liore, Miklat. Both, the minute that a person murders, however it happens, he runs to it near Miklat. Bezdin then sends officers, bringing him from the Ir Miklat to come to the Beslan to go to trial. Mishnet Chayev Mita, if it turns out that he was Chayev and he had got his Edim and Hatra'ah, then they'll kill him. Shinemar Veshochu Zikneiro Velakhu Oto Misham Venatnoya Oto Biagol Adam Vameit. Now, why are the elders sending for him in an Ir Miklat? What the heck is he doing in an Ir Miklat? Obviously, he was supposed to go there immediately, even though in the end, they hand him over to the Gol Adam, and the Gol Adam kills him. Misha lo nitchayev, if it turns out that he was potter, so they potter him. Shinem ravi yitzilu ha'eda et harotzeach miyad Gol Adam. This is the mokra v'yitzilu ha'eda that we've used throughout the Masechet and through Masechet Sanhedrin. This is so fundamental. That's how we know that the Bezdin is 23 people, remember? V'shaftu ha'eda v'yitzilu ha'eda. Incredibly, from this parsha as well. Mishnet chayev galut, it turns out that the murder was b'shogeg, so then they send him back to the Ir Miklat. Sh'nema v'shivu oto ha'eda el Ir Miklato asher nas shama. Rebbe says, just because it says in the pasuk that the Bezdin has to send for him, that doesn't mean that he was mechuyev to go. It means that that's what people do because they think that they're going to save themselves by going to the Ir Miklat. But it's not true what Rebbe Yossi was saying, that they're mechuyev to go. Rebbe Omer Miatzman ain't goling. If they murdered on purpose, they run there because of a mistake. Kisfurin hein, they think that Echad Shogeg, the Echad Mezid Kol Tot. And that's why they go there. Because they make the mistake of Einein on Yodim, but they don't realize it's not going to help them to go to near Miklat. B'Shogeg Kol Tot. B'Mezid Einein Kol Tot. So when you said before, B'Shogeg Babai Sezel Yadot, it's not obvious. They're telling the Gol Adam something that he may really not know. Listen, this guy is not one of these people running to protect himself. We know the story. He actually fell off a ladder and fell onto your relative. You think he wanted to fall off the ladder? Omar Rebbe Elazar, if the Ir Miklat consists of mostly Rotschim, so once there's more Rotschim than other population, then it no longer is an Ir Miklat, and it's not going to help you. Shenemar v'diber bozne ziknei ha'ir ahi et divarav. He has to, the murderer B'Shogeg has to come and tell them that I need to come to your city. Please accept me because I killed B'Shogeg and I'm in need of joining your city. But if the people that he's speaking to, essentially, it's a city in which everybody is a killer. Why do I have to say, let me in, even though I'm a killer? I mean, the whole city is killers. So it's clear that what we're discussing here is becoming part of the city. But that's a very interesting nakuda, right? Why do I have to speak to people about it? Because the way that the Ir Miklat is collate is by your becoming part of that sibor. And therefore, you're a chelik of an ear. That's what protects you. If you're going to go there and not be a chelik of, that's why you need friends. Why we say we send the Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael, and we need to have a full range of people for you to feel that this is your place. That's the v'chayit. If you're not going to find any place for yourself, the place can't protect you, because placement is not just being there, because you need to be part of something in order for it to make a difference. That's the question of whether if you walk into a miklat somewhere and people say, atzenter, atzenter, and you walk into the miklat, there's a bunch of weirdos there and you have absolutely no interest in being part of them, but you want a minyan for mincha. If you think that that's tefillah betzibur, you may be making a big mistake, because this is what etzibur means, not where it's dafka people that you don't want to be with. The Omar Rabbi Elazar, Yirsha Ein Bazikinim, suppose the city doesn't have a bezdin. It's machlokas, the different mefarshim, whether this means it doesn't have a bezdin, meaning a sanhedrin, a vesrin, v'shloisha, which we know every city is supposed to have, or it means literally it doesn't have any bezdin. It doesn't even have zikinim to be a bezdin of shloisha. So a city like that cannot actually provide klita, because you need to have Zikne Ya'ir. It says, V'diber bozne Zikne Ya'ir Ahi. If the city doesn't have Zikne Ya'ir, then it cannot be Ya'ir Ahi. You see? So according to Rabbi Elazar, the Zikinim are part of the way that the Torah defines the requirements for being an Ir Miklat. If there's no Zikinim, it cannot be an Ir Miklat. To be Inan Zikne Ya'ir Veleka. Whereas, there's clearly not everybody agrees to that, because it's a machlokas itmar. Ir she'ein bazikinim is a machlokas rabami v'rubasi. Chadamer koletet v'chadamer eina koletet. Suleiman diomar eina koletet. He says, like we just read, ziknei ha'ir. You don't have ziknei ha'ir, so you don't have any miklat. Whereas the man diomar is kolet, it's just telling you a separate mitzvah. Why does this become a definition of the city? It's telling you how you're supposed to act when possible in the city. It's a mitzvah. If you can't, you can't. We have the same question in many places where the Torah defines things that need to be done by a city through zikanim. Does that mean without those zikanim that it's not a city included in the halacha? Or was it just, as either Rabbi Rabasi says here, was it just a mitzvah that you're unable to be mekayim? So we have the same question about a ben sorer umore. So a city without zakenim, Rabami v'Rabasi argue about that too. Chadomer naseba ben sorer umore, v'chadomer ein naseba ben sorer umore. The Mandi Omru says ein naseba ben sorer umore. It says beferish in the pasuk that the parents are supposed to tafsuba avi v'imo hotziu oto el ziknei iro, and if there's no ziknei iro, so then you can't do that v'leka. Whereas Mandi Omru naseba ben sorer umore, and that's a mitzvah. If you don't have a zakenim here, you can bring them to zakenim in another city to give them malchus. Another machlokas that this is nogea Rabami and Rabasi. A city without zakenim, chadomer mevia egla rufa, v'chadomer ina mevia egla rufa. Shulman diomer ina mevia egla rufa. Since it says beferish in the pasuk, if you find somebody that was mugged and murdered, it says that ha'ir hakrovala chalala chuziknea irahi eglat bakar, etc., etc. If there are no ziknea irahi, so how can you do that? So therefore, this is the definition of the city. Whereas the other Mandi Omer says, the Mandi Omer mevi egla rufa, it's a mitzvah, but not a definition of the city. So it's a mitzvah be alma. Okay, I think we can finish our daf here, and I hope that people will be able to meet this afternoon. I sent out an invite so we can have one of our, yeah, well, I'm becoming a little cynical. We should be able to make it in the 18 minutes, be able to make in Hechilacha Haderech to Shvi Shel Pesach, Bezrat Hashem. Tein Hachana Haderech. Mu'adim l'simcha, chagim u'zmanim l'sason.
When shall we three meet again, Rebbe?
Ah, one of those questions, huh? Hmm. Yeah, so we're going to be out again, huh? We're going to be behind the Daf in Joburg, right? So maybe we should go a little further. Do you want to go a little further so it'll be less? Are people necha to go further? It's just too late. Am I getting any? I'm getting some people. The big end is
we're going to go to
end.
I thought we were going to go to the two dots.
Okay. If that's what you thought, I mean, far be it from us to ever do something that you didn't think. So let's continue then. Omer of Chama Bar Chanina, how is it that when it comes to Dafka, to this Parsha, the Parsha of the whole din of this, we call it Parshat HaHachak, Piskalaha Parshata, the whole thing is really weird. It's all said with the word Vayidaber, Vayidaber. It says, Vayidaber Adonai El Yoshua Lemor, Daber El Bnei Yisrael Lemor. And so that every time that there's a reference to the mitzvah, it's Beloshen Dibur, and Dibur is Kasha. If you take a look in the rest of Yoshua, it's always Vayomer Hashem El Yoshua. Over here, it's Dafka Vayidaber. Why is that? That when it comes to this Parsha, that we find such tough language. It's because this is the thing that is being translated directly from the mitzvah in the Torah. And in the Torah, it's Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. And therefore, being as this is given out to Yoshua as one who's carrying it out, it's said in that same language. So what, are you saying that the word Dibur is by definition Loshen Kasha? It has to be tough? Oh, yes. And when the Shvatim were trying to explain to Yaakov Avinu about what kind of pressure they were under there when they went to Mitzrayim, they say, yes, he used Dibur to really, whew, it was tough, very tough. But it can't be tough. How do you understand the Pasuk that says, Vatanya in the Braita? When the Pasuk says in Malachi, Az nidburu. I mean, that's talking about az nidburu yirei Hashem, yishal reyehu, vayakshev Hashem vayishma, vayikatev sefer zikaron. I mean, that's very sweet, isn't it? Like people that are talking to each other in that way. And that's the sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes. And that's not harsh, is it? Ein nidburu, it says beferish. Ein nidburu el loshen nachas. Dafka, the opposite. It means talking kindly to each other in ways that are close. V'cheinu omer, yadber amim tachtenu. Now, this is a little bit strange, because, of course, yadber amim tachtenu is very harsh. That's why in modern Hebrew, if you want to talk about an exterminator, he's called a madber, because he exterminates. This is pretty harsh, I think, especially if you're a cockroach. I mean, it's a tough way to be dealt with. So the idea over here is that Yadber Amim Tachtenu, I mean, even the Parshas of the Pasuk, Yadber Amim Tachtenu Lo Umim Tachat Raglenu, that's gentle? I mean, the simple meaning of it is you're going to crush these people under our feet, you know, I mean, that's always what it means, under your feet. So why does the Gemara think that that's a lotion of Nachas from Yadber Amim Tachtenu? But the point is that when someone is in the state of Nidbar, which is what it says over there, as Nidbaru, that they are completely under control. There's nothing that they can do that's harsh. So the Nidbaru would mean Loshen Nachas. You're completely kept in your place. So that means that Nidbar can't be that they are responding with harshness. That's true. But Daber, when you use it as the word daber, is one thing. Yadber is a different thing, but it depends on how it is that it's used contextually, obviously. Pligi ba rebiuda v'rabonim, chad amar mipnei sheshiham. The reason that it was said was not because it's divrei Torah, according to one man d'yomar, but rather it's because Yoshua took all this time to get around to putting aside the Shesh Arei Miklat. Why did it take him so long? So then Hashem said, hey, what's with you, man? Vayidaber Hashem Yoshua, we've been waiting for this mitzvah. You're sitting over here like a dumkop. V'chadomer, mipnei shein shav Torah, like Ruchama Bar Chanina said. V'yichtov Yehoshua et ha'dvarim ha'ela b'sefer Torah Elohim. What? So in other words, Yehoshua wrote the Sefer Torah? I thought the whole idea of the Sefer Torah is that it was only Shayach to be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Pliga bar Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemim. Chad Omer, this is a reference to the last eight psukim in the Torah, which describe the death of Moshe. Who wrote the words, Vayomo Cham Moshe Evet Adonai, Be'eretz Moav Alpi Adonai? Who wrote that? Did Moshe write that himself? Did Moshe write Vayikboroto Bagai, and so on and so forth? Did Moshe write Moshe Ben Mea Vesrim Shana B'moto? Did Moshe write Vayivku B'nei Yisrael at Moshe Barvot Moav? So who wrote that? Now that must have been written by Yehoshua, and that's what it's a reference to. It's Advarim Ha'ila, B'sefer Torah Elokim. Adomer, no. It's a reference to the psukim of the Ori Miklat. That's the point. Now, wait a minute. I understand if you're saying it means the last eight psukim, that's why it says that he wrote it in the Sefer Torah, because he had to write those psukim in the Sefer Torah. But if you're telling me it's the parsha of the Ori Miklat, he didn't write it in the Sefer Torah. He wrote it in Sefer Yehoshua. So, my b'sefer Torah Elohim, achi komar, v'yichtov Yehoshua b'sifro et hadvarim ha'ela k'tuvim b'sefer Torah Elohim. So, this would be very good, according to Mandi Omar, that the lashon of vayedaber is a lashon of mipnei shem divrei Torah. So, as I was saying, Yehoshua responded to the ha'ora, these are divrei Torah, and the words of vayedaber, by actually writing those things that were in the Sefer Torah Elohim. He realized the chashivas of making the complete record and bringing closure to that mitzvah. Shall we continue? Yes, this goes beyond Shmu's, I don't know, can we do beyond what Shmu thought? But there, Shanim writes, Lechas Baylichin, I say.
Take it to the Mishnah.
Okay. One more time. Take it to the Mishnah. There we go. Now, there's another machlokas over here with Rabbi Yehuda. A Sefer Torah that was sewed, the different gilyonot were sewed together, not with ginim, but they were sewed with pishnam, with thread, linen thread. So there we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Chad omer kosher, v'chad omer pasul. So l'man di omer pasul, it says beferish. L'man, when it comes to the dinim of making tefillin, it says, "Laman tiyeh Torah Hashem bepicha, ve'iskish kol atera kula letefillin." Now, if we understand that the psukim about the dinim of tefillin are also chal, since it says Torah Hashem bepicha, it's a reference to kol Torah Hashem, and that means that iskish kol atera kula letefillin. Now, with tefillin, we know that if you used thread to sew the tefillin, then it would be for sure possible, because over there it's one of the halacha l'meishim Sinai that the tefillin need to be tofran begidim. You must use animal gidim, sinu, and af kol, so that means, if we're comparing kol atera kula, teras Hashem to tefillin, then that means anything that needs sewing in a Sefer Torah has to be sewed the way that you sew up your tefillin, which is only begidim. Rashenkin, the other Mandi Omar says, Ki iskash, yes, it's true, Lamantia Torah Hashem Picha. That part is a hekesh. What is that? That teaches us the halacha that you can only write on the skin of an animal that is kosher b'picha, but you can't write it on a skin of an animal that is not a kosher animal. That's true about the Sefer Torah as well. And if it's a behemoth tmeya, you can't use it for tefillin. But because of the Hekesh, you can't use it for Torah either. But Benogea, the various halachas, which are not here being discussed, Lehilchotav, Lo Hiskesh, as far as whether you need to use a Gidim or you can use thread, it's not telling you anything about that. Omar Rav, I can tell you one thing. I saw my uncle, my wonderful uncle, Rabbi Chia, Chazinu Lulatvilin de Vechavivi, I saw that he actually had linen thread that had showed up as true. And apparently he held like that Shita. So how could that be? Now, this is very problematic. And the reason it's problematic is because there was never a question. We were only talking about the Sefer Torah. And whether we're comparing the Sefer Torah to the Tefillin, nobody ever said that you can use Tzalach L'Moshe Sinai. How in the world, that was the whole point that we were bringing it. So how in the world could he say that Rabbi Chiya's Tefillin were puzzled Tefillin and they didn't hold with the Tzalach L'Moshe Sinai? That's crazy. So some of the Rishonim actually changed the girsa here. Not Chazina L'Tefillin D'Vechavivi, but Chazina L'Sifri D'Vechavivi, the Tefillin B'Kitna. Now that would fit in much better into the Gemara that we just had. The Latilchata Kavati, Halach L'Maisa, we don't pass in that way, and the Sefer Torah as well, needs to be sewed up with the Ginim of the Behema Kishera.